Good morning, and welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we do hope that the service is a blessing to you. We want to welcome back Linda Van Dyke. It's such a delight to have her here today, along with Colin Welford and our lay reader, Kathleen Harris. This Thursday at 1 o'clock, if you are here in Door County, we are having parking lot Bible studies. And we're doing the book of Ephesians. And if you don't happen to be here but would like the notes for our Bible studies, you can email us at worship@ephraimmoravian.org and we'll see that you get the notes for those studies. We are celebrating communion today, and our communion is an open one. That means that all who will may come. And we ask that you have some bread and wine or grape juice or whatever food you have in the house. We will consecrate it. It will be holy. And we want you to join with us in the Lord's Supper. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Our watchword for the week. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all God's benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. Our first scripture lesson is taken from Genesis, chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to harm me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Please join us in singing "When Morning Gilds the Skies."
To that point of our service when we bring our praise reports and our prayer requests. We are so grateful for the God who has sustained us throughout this time. We are so grateful for all the first responders and the firefighters who are on the front lines in California and Oregon fighting wildfires. We would remember all the people who are in harm's way from those fires. We want to also remember Tom, who's going in for a complicated back surgery. We want to remember all the caregivers. We want to remember those who are battling cancer. For Dean, for Angela, this is a friend of Laura's, and Angela is entering hospice care. She has called all her loved ones together. She has told them how much she loves them and how grateful she is for them. And she's preparing to say goodbye and to enter into life eternal. So let's remember Angela, Laura's friend, in our prayers. We want to remember Rhea in our prayers and John in our prayers for cancer. We also want to remember the little children, Jaden, Michael, and Aiden, who is entering surgery next month. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for the grace that surrounds us, for the mercies that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We are so grateful for those who run into harm's way to protect others. We would remember all those who are battling fires in Oregon and California. For all those who are evacuating the area, we ask for your grace and mercy and for an end to these wildfires. We would remember Tom as he goes in for back surgery, that your mercy and your grace would accompany him into that room, that you would guide the doctors and nurses' hands to healing. We would remember all of those who are giving care this day to loved ones. We ask that you would give them your grace and your peace and healing hands. We ask that you would be with Dean and Rhea and John as they undergo treatment for cancer. We ask that you would give to Angela your peace, that she might see her future not as one of despair, but as being ushered into your nearer presence. Be with her in this final journey. Friend of little children, keep, guard, and bless Jaden, Michael, and Aiden in their time of need. We bring ourselves before you today, knowing that you love us and rejoice to hear our prayers and answer them. We ask it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our gospel lesson today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, Not seven times, but I tell you, 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 1,000 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, Pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our reflection is written by Dan Olson, entitled, Who's Counting? Has anyone ever asked you a question, then supplied the answer they wanted by asking another question? That is what Peter did to Jesus one day. Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone? Then Peter asked the question, how about 7 times? Is that good enough? Peter was really not being stingy with forgiveness. In fact, the Old Testament declared that 3 times was okay. But then Jesus demolishes Peter's line of thinking. No, Peter, you must forgive 70 times 7. What? That is totally outlandish. Does Jesus require us to place ourselves completely at the mercy of some uncaring, unrepentant sinner? Does he eliminate tough love solutions? Ought we to forgive no matter what? Jesus is not inviting us to keep careful records, but is setting a standard that makes record keeping totally selfish. He does not give us a math lesson, but a grace lesson. Who can truly forgive 70 times 7 while keeping track? Who can forgive habitually without becoming a forgiving person? Who can forget and let go of someone's sins while putting chalk marks on the wall? To keep track is not to forgive, but to eagerly look to the day when we can quit forgiving. We have fulfilled our obligation. Enough of this forgiveness business. A person keeping records of forgiveness is like a rogue banker whose motive is foreclosure. The point is, our sins put Jesus on the cross. That is forgiveness beyond all measure. Broken as we are, Jesus invites us to live in the realm of endless love and forgiveness. 70 times 7.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I cannot stand when this subject comes up in the lectionary. All this talk of forgiveness. And the reason I don't like it is because we preacher types need to preach it, and invariably the next week somebody does something that really gets me annoyed. And how I approach forgiveness is, I'll jerk that person up real quick. And if they're wise, they will ask for forgiveness, and then I let them twist in the wind for a little bit before I confer my forgiveness on them, and then I wait for the next time. Now, don't tell me you don't do the same thing. I know I'm confessing here, but I understand why it's so difficult to forgive. Because after all, don't we only ask for forgiveness when we've been caught? It's a difficult thing, this concept of forgiveness. And I had an aha moment this week. My aha moment was, the reason we find it so difficult to forgive is we think it's transactional. If I forgive you, then you must do something in return. Or if you do something wrong, then somebody has to forgive. It's a transactional relationship. And actually, if I look at these stories in the Bible, it is not transactional at all. Think of the story of Joseph and his brothers. Do you remember that story? Joseph was a bratty teenager. He thought he was something special because his daddy told him that all the time. In fact, daddy would pit the older brothers against him, and the older brothers had had enough. Now, you would think, as brothers might do, that they'd slap him around a little, but these brothers were over the top. What they did was not only slap him around, they sold him into slavery. and then told Daddy that the kid had died by a wild animal. Joseph went to Egypt, and he was enslaved. Not only was he enslaved, but he ran afoul of his owner's wife, and he ended up in prison. And he was in prison for years until he caught the eye of Pharaoh. And Joseph was such an amazing administrator that Pharaoh put him in charge of half the nation and of all the food stores. And when there was famine in the land and in the lands beyond, Joseph was the administrator of the food. And it was because of Joseph that people were able to eat, that they didn't starve to death during that time. And that's when Joseph, many, many, many years into the future, found his brothers, because his brothers had come to beg for food for their family. And of course, the brothers didn't recognize Joseph. And it was the one story that I really love about Joseph, because when he meets his brothers again, he does let them twist in the wind. He toys with them before he reveals who he is. And so the brothers come and live in Jacob's land, in Joseph's land. They bring father Jacob, so Jacob and his son are reunited, and it's a wonderful thing. And then after some years, Jacob, the dad, dies. And the brothers get together, and they said, you know, now that daddy's dead, Joseph might exact revenge. Joseph was a great prince. He could do anything he wanted. And perhaps he will take revenge. So these brothers prove that they have not really changed. Because rather than going to Joseph and saying, you know, we were really rotten to you, what do they say? Joseph, before daddy died, he told us to ask you for forgiveness and that you wouldn't hurt us. Now, of course he hadn't. But they didn't know how. They were still manipulative enough and craven enough that they were going to ask for Joseph's help only on behalf of Daddy. And Joseph broke down and cried. These guys fell on their knees and begged him for forgiveness, not because, I don't think that they were sorry, but because they knew that he could kill them, that he could make their lives a living hell. And Joseph says something remarkable, and this is where forgiveness is not transactional. When he looked back on the evil that was done to him, it's not that he sugarcoated the evil. He knew how terrible it was, and what awful things his brothers had done, and what awful events came out of that. But he not only looked at their behavior, he looked at the God who sustained him through all of that. The God who kept him through prison. The God who loved him and showered grace upon him. The God who positioned him to shower grace on other people and to keep people alive through this terrible famine. And he put his brothers in God's hand. Someone once said that forgiveness, true forgiveness, comes out of a reservoir of grace. So that reservoir of grace that is within us then spills out to forgiveness. It doesn't matter if the person can pay us back. It doesn't matter if the person becomes trustworthy. It doesn't even matter if we can bring that person into fellowship again. If that person and us can be reconciled, that's gravy. That's the icing on the cake. But forgiveness is not about if that person can be trustworthy again or if that person can be my friend again. Forgiveness comes out of a wellspring of grace, just as Jesus was able to forgive his murderers. So we forgive not because we want something in return, we want a transaction, but we have a wellspring of grace. And where does that wellspring come from? It's a wellspring that comes into us through the Holy Spirit of God. I cannot be forgiving without a wellspring, without a reservoir of grace within me. And so perhaps the prayer needs to be, not, Lord, help me to forgive that bum who did that to me, but Lord, give me a reservoir of grace so that I can be grace-filled in all my transactions. Would you pray that prayer with me today? So the next time we have an incident, we will be filled with grace. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that in all my ways, in all my undertakings, you will fill me with a reservoir of grace that will spill out into forgiveness for all the wrongs, great and small, that I may encounter. As you have forgiven me, may I also forgive others. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you. Let us partake in the name of the Lord."
God, the Lord, has peace and the Savior.
also, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let us partake together." This bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Amen.